Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
You're listening to the Shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rail. Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Daddy Warpus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zunes, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Hopefully you're all okay, wherever it is and whenever it is you're listening to this. So if you're not listening live, I just recommend you should. It's going to be a good show tonight, and whenever you listen to it. I've got plenty of stuff to talk about. I've got new games I've been playing. I've got tons of good news, very little bad, but I'll start off with the usual thing. Literally about 3 weeks away now from the... second MNL, if I can say it properly, it's only three letters, MLR live event, which will take place in Montclair, New Jersey, which I am so looking forward to. I mean, everyone's, as soon as I turn up and see everyone, they're going to give me the fucking kicking because I keep going on about it. But yeah, it's August 9th at Just Jake's, 30 Park Street, Montclair, New Jersey. Going to have stand-up. We've got, you know, Mike Falcone, Conti and Kenny will be there, Dave Satsik, Dan DiMarino. Raffles, auctions, got a cover band with BPM. It's a whole big tribute to Walter Peterson, who died this year. Basically, it's free admission. Literally, there's no charge, but we do ask, literally, because it's a whole thing, it's all free. We want donations. Literally, donate. I mean, you've got to pay for your drinks and shit, but it's literally bring some money. There'll be some sort of collecting device. put some money in. I'm bringing some money to donate as well. You know, it's free entry. All we ask is bring some money, put in some donations, and help Otto's family. But yeah, it's going to be a really great event. Lots of people are going that I know, and you know, all the show hosts are going. Yeah, pretty much everyone who's anyone, except a few exceptions, is going to be there. So basically, you should make sure you get yourself down there too. Because actually, I mean, I'm flying across the world to come to this thing, and you know, if you're in that area, you've got no excuse. So if you're not in that area, my journey is a lot more. My journey involves a lot more travel than yours does. Basically, you can just jump on a train or something. It's only for a couple of hours. We're going from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 4. But yeah, it's going to be a really great afternoon, and literally, I can't wait. Literally, my suitcase is mostly packed. It's sitting in the corner of the room. I sort of look at it from day to day, just counting down the days off my calendar. But yeah, it's like literally about 3 weeks away. It's going to be a really good event, and literally, I want to see everyone out there. You know, come support Otto Peterson's family, and it's going to be really, really good. But yeah, so usual stuff as well. If you want to contact the show, you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Game Radio on Skype. You can also email the show, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, we have a Facebook group if you want to join that. It's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. And also, we have a Facebook page, which up to 172 likes now. Trying to get up to 200 by, I don't know, Christmas. It's facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at MLR Gamer Radio. And I'll follow you back because, you know, like to keep in contact with the listeners, see what they're playing, you know, what's going on with them, you know, be a bit nosy, that sort of stuff. But don't forget as well, iTunes, we're at Morlock Radio's on iTunes. Go on there, leave us a 5-star review, tell us how much you like us, then, you know, email me, send me a tweet, tell me that you've reviewed us, and I'll give you a shout out on the show. But yeah, I say, you know, good show planned for this evening. I've got a ton of news which I'm really excited to talk about because there's a whole bunch of Destiny stuff, some Dragon Age stuff, Mass Effect, some firings going on, and a whole bunch of stuff that I can't wait to talk about. But I'll get into the usual what I've been playing, which this week I finished off Tomb Raider. It was my birthday last week. Thanks for all the old birthday wishes that I got from all the listeners. I really do appreciate that. I finished Tomb Raider. I beat it, as you do. And then I sort of went around the whole game and just sort of 100%ed every location, which, you know, for those of you sort of for the long time listeners, you know, I had the Tomb Raider when it was on my Xbox 360. I got stuck on the shipwreck beach stage. Basically, I couldn't find all the mines. I had a trouble trying to do this. I mean, most of the stuff that I couldn't find, I just literally sort of stood in one place and used the survival bit. And just found everything, and then I sort of like went looking for the mines, used like guides and stuff on YouTube to try and find it all, and yep, 100%ed every level. Everything's pretty much done. I'm just missing about 300 pieces of salvage, which I don't really think I'll be bothered to get to finish upgrading my final weapon. But as pretty much all the enemies are dead, I'll just have to hunt deer for 6 hours trying to get enough salvage to finish that off with. But yeah, I'm pretty much done with Tomb Raider until I decide to pick it up and play through it again. Don't know when that will be, probably sometime, I don't know, a few months from now maybe. But yeah, I'm sort of glad now I have actually 100%ed that. I mean, it sort of did piss me off the bit that, you know, I couldn't do it on my Xbox. It was sort of glitching, or it just wasn't right. But yeah, I finished it. I'm happy. I'm sort of legit, it's back on the shelf with all the other games that I've got. And, you know, sell it probably sometime in the future, you know, probably near Christmas or something. Don't know, wait and see what, you know, if I want to play it again, I'll pick it up. But I mean, we still got the new Tomb Raider coming out, so I'll try and get rid of this one before that comes out. Hopefully make some money off the bloody thing. But yeah, other stuff I have, like, I got two new games this week. I know, like, last week I said to you, because I was on holiday, I was going to play Bioasis on the iPod. I didn't get around to it. I'm sort of pissed off myself that I didn't, because it's a really fun game and I'm a big fan of the story and, you know, how it plays out, and the game mechanics are pretty good. But yeah, I sort of just didn't really do that. I mostly just focused on Pokemon, and that's pretty much all I did on that, just breeding away like crazy. I must have bred about 20 or 30 different Pokemon and EV trained them and IV bred them and usual stuff. Trying to, you know, finish the whole Pokedex of having a Pokemon, each family line up to, 5 IVs. It's going pretty well. Mostly done, sort of, I don't know, 80 left, so I'll be done in a few months.
It's a big waste of time, that is. But no, just sort of something to do, to be honest, because we're in a bit of a dead zone at the moment with where the summer is. I mean, I'm playing older games now. Jack from Talk Radio Meltdown, he just keeps posting pictures and stuff about Infamous Second Son for his PlayStation 4. So I'm like, that looks pretty good. I better pick that up. So we ordered that last week. That turned up Saturday. I've nearly finished it, to be honest. I'm blitzing through the game like you wouldn't believe. Because it's an open world game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. There's tons to do. Basically, the whole story goes, you're this conduit. I think I said last week, I had the first one, but because I had to wipe the hard drive on my PlayStation 3, I lost it. So I did read some of the wiki stuff on Infamous, and I think Infamous 2 as well. None of it meant a thing to me, so I'm like, okay, we'll just go straight into this game fresh. And basically, you're this conduit who can basically absorb other people's powers. And, you know, you start off with smoke, and then you get, like, these neon light powers, and then basic powers I've got at the moment are, what the hell is it, like, video powers, which it's really shoehorned in how they've managed to sort of... Because with all the powers, you get different abilities, because, like, you know, say, when you first started getting the smoke powers, there's these things you have to get... I can't remember what the hell they're called, but they're basically these great big boxes, and you got to smash them open and just get all the goodies inside. And it gives you this access to new moves and abilities and stuff like this. So, like, you can, with the smoke ones, you can, what is it? Like, shoot fire from your hands and blow stuff up. And then once you get, like, the final power, you can, if you get enough, it's like karma points. Like, they stack up, and then you can do, like, a special move, which is basically you just sort of fly up into the sky, and then you sort of come back down like a bomb and you just blow the shit out of everything in the area, which is quite fun, actually. There's for all the different powers, there's a special move at the end of it. But it's a lot of fun, like, sort of running around and just sort of, you know, destroying stuff. And I mean, it's not full world destroy duct ability. I mean, there's cars in it you can blow up and other bits and pieces that you can destroy. But a lot of the stuff, it's a very fun game. It does have its flaws. I mean, some of the combat stuff's a bit tricky. It's like I'd be in a fight and then, you know, killing a bunch of people and then just get completely shot. And, you know, you're not health bar, but your health goes down and you sort of notice it. The screen starts to fade. So, like, you run out of the way, try and get out the line of fire. That way you can sort of rest and heal up. But it's sometimes you have to be strategic when it comes to taking out your enemies, because they do get very... they can overpower you quite quickly. I'll be like trying, because there's like there's these towers that you have to take over, because like the whole map is basically split up into sections, and each section there's like this DUP, it's like a not checkpoint, it's like it's a command center type thing, and you've got to basically destroy these little markers that it tells you about, and then basically this box pops up, like one of the ones you had to destroy to get the special moves. And basically you just sort of, I'm trying to think the best way to describe it. You sort of destroyed that and it releases these shards, which I'll explain about in a second. And you get them and it basically lets you unlock additional moves in your sort of umbrella style wheelhouse of abilities. It's like, you know, you'll have like smoke, shoot fire from your hands. And then the more shards you get, you can upgrade that so that you can, you know, fire missiles and, you know, use your powers like longer, like increases the actual amount of smoke that you can absorb from chimney stacks and that sort of stuff. But it's a bit tricky and peculiar to understand. But it's when you get into it, it's very simple. You lot know me trying to explain shit. It just goes a bit wrong. Smoke powers. It's like great. When you get access to all of them, you can sort of like swap between them. I mean, the smoke powers, you have to go to like chimney stacks and absorb the smoke from that. With your neon powers, you basically just go to the neon signs that absorb that. And then the video ones, you go to like sort of satellite dishes, TV aerials, use them and basically just sort of pick that up. It's a lot of fun. It really is. One second. Sorry, I'm just going back to my notes and other stuff I'm missing. Yeah, I mean, once you've taken out the old command center, there's other different missions that open up but reveal themselves. Because it's basically the whole thing is like, destroy these command centers, and then basically there's like tagging missions which you do have to do sort of Banksy style spray painting. That's better. But yeah, I mean, I'm having, you know, tons of fun with it, sort of doing these tagging missions. There's sort of secret agent missions, which I quite like. Basically gives you this access to, basically there's this guy that you get a picture of, and he sort of, some sort of guy you've got to chase after or follow. I mean, it was tricky the first time I did it because I wasn't too sure what was going on. So basically sort of stood on the edge and looked through the crowd, and then I had like my smoke powers and just sort of like fired a rocket off him and blew him away. It was great. And, you know, there's tons of other little missions that you've got to do, because each mission that you do helps clear part of the DUP's occupation of this section of the map. And there's like little, like with, what the hell is it? What game is it? Crackdown. There was like orbs you could find. There's stuff like this, but they're the shards, which, you know, upgrade, you know, you get certain amounts, you can access new moves, and then you get, you know, you can upgrade the amount of powers and stuff you have, and it's a bit tricky to explain, but it's a lot of fun trying to find them all. It's a big, you know, it's one giant collectathon, to be honest. I mean, I've nearly finished it. That's what's worries me about open world games these days. I mean, I probably should do like a topic about how people play them. I am wondering that I'm going through the game too quickly. I mean, because I have literally, I mean, I think I've 87% complete when I sort of turned it off about half an hour ago. Yeah, because I've unlocked most of the areas. I've taken out all the DUP command centers. I've just got to find a couple of orbs and then do. I mean, once you've got a certain amount of the area cleared, you get these special missions, which are, you know, the DUP will throw all sorts of enemies and shit at you, and then once you've beaten them, you've sort of cleared the map, that sort of section of the map. And I've got two of those to do and some bits and pieces. I'll probably have most of that done tonight, and I've done most of the missions as well. I've nearly finished. I'll probably have the game finished by tomorrow, which is good because we have the Destiny beta coming out on Thursday, so, you know, I'll be all free and clear to play that. But yeah, I say I am having tons of fun with Infamous Second Son. It is a really good game. I mean, some of the stuff's a bit tricky. I mean, I've talked about the controllers, the touchpad on the PlayStation 4 controller before, but it's a bit. Yeah, they use it to a decent effect when it comes to in how it's used in the game. I mean, there's like these cages that hold suspected conduits, and basically you sort of walk up to it and then you just sort of slide your finger along the touchpad, and then it will sort of, you know, your character will break open the door and let them out. And then when you have to take over the towers to get the destroy the DUP command centers, you've got to basically push up on the touchpad, and then basically just click on the shoulder buttons to start smashing the this little box thing. But it's actually given a use for the touchpad, but it still feels like something that could be done with a single button press, to be honest. I mean, you know, the amount of time and not really effort. You know, there's no real effort to it, but it seems like a waste of, I don't know, waste of effort. I'm not too happy with this overall design of the PlayStation 4 controller because of the touchpads there. I mean, we've got tiny little options and whatever the hell that other button is, the screen button thing. But yeah, I mean, it's something that could be done with a simple button press. I don't know. It's okay. I mean, the game's really fun, and I've nearly finished it. I'm having tons of fun. The story's really good. I mean, I'm starting to realise, not realise as such, but I'm starting to enjoy when I look at like cutscenes and stuff that we are getting with, you know, the current gen consoles. I'm watching the cutscenes between. I mean, the character's name's weird. It's like Dilson. fucking weird ass name for a character. But yeah, he you know, he says in the game that his mum named him after a cowboy. So I mean, I had to look up something on that. But yeah, I mean, like him and his interaction with the other characters, and his brother is in the game as he's like a police officer. And just like the whole motion capture stuff, and it does look really good now that we have the motion capture as good as it is. And I'm watching the characters, and I'm seeing their expressions, and it does seem a lot more animated. What we're getting now with the cutscenes, it's not stock footage, or it's not just something that's bare bones. It's something that's detailed, and you know, we can feel part of when we're watching it, and I understand the people's emotions that are going around that are being portrayed, because most of the stuff that happens with the voice actors these days, it's motion capture, facial recognition, stuff like that, and it's really, really good and helps better the game. So Infamous Second Son, really good game. I got it quite cheap, to be honest. I mean, that's the thing, it's probably not worth the full price, mainly because I've gone through it in about 2 or 3 days. I mean, it is a really good game. But I mean, with the open world stuff, it does worry me that because I have gone through it so quickly, maybe just because basically I have no life and there's nothing else that I do, and I have gone through it so quickly, but it does make me wonder that there's not enough in the game to occupy myself. Don't know. I'm sort of sitting on the fence about that one, because I mean, literally, I mean, there's tag missions, there's secret agent missions, and you get to collect shards. There's like control points, checkpoints that you can take out that have shards in them. I'm just trying to think what else. Oh, there's like hidden camera missions where you sort of stand in this little circle, and what is it? There's hidden cameras that you've got to find, take them out. Helps unoccupy the territories. And there's like these audio missions where you're getting talked to by some guy. I don't even know who that is. But you basically just get talked to about bits and pieces. It's a really fun game, and I am enjoying it quite a bit. Other thing I did get, I got this literally this morning, because I'm sort of getting ready for going to America. I picked up Mario Kart 7 through my 3DS. It's very good. It is. It's a lot of fun. It's just standard Mario Kart as you expect. The graphics are really good. I'm quite impressed at how well it looks. I mean, I've seen I've looked when I went tempted to go and buy it before, and looked at the box art, and I'm like, this looks a bit shit. But it actually does look really nice. It's very clear and polished. The carts are funny. You can sort of customize your carts now. I mean, I haven't played. I think my mate had a Mario Kart on the DS. I think I played it on the Game Boy Advance. I've never really actually had a proper game of Mario Kart until now. I mean, I never had a Super Nintendo, and I have no interest in getting a Wii U at the moment. So I'm not going to buy Mario Kart 8, even though that's the game that everyone seems to be playing. It's really fun. All the characters are great. I mean, I don't know if there's anything to differentiate between the characters, because when you basically start off the whole game, it's like you pick your own your character, and then basically there's no like stats for them. But when you get to the carts, you can choose what sort of chassis you want for your cart, and then what sort of wheels you want, and then you can have like the extra, which is like the glider or sort of, I've seen there's like an umbrella, but you can choose that, and it all affects on your speed, your acceleration, your handling, all those sort of stuff that's affected by how you choose to set up your car, which is a lot of fun. And I've got certain amount of coins, and it's unlocked the parts. I went on GameFAQs and had a look, see what I need to do to have a look, and how many coins I'm going to need to get all these parts that keep popping up. Because you can only get, once you finish a race, you get, during the races, there's coins you can collect. And the most you can collect a race is 10. And the maximum part I've seen, I think, is like the gold car, is like 20, you have to get 20,000 coins. Which is a lot, considering the fact that each cup is only like 40 coins. And, it's going to be a bit of a hassle. But, I'm not going to play it just for the cart piece. I'm just playing it to have a bit of fun with. But I mean, you know, as you get the, you know, as you play more, you unlock these cart parts, which, you know, they, you know, they, you know, they make you better in certain stats and how you set up the cart, you know, that sort of stuff. But I mean, the courses are really fun; they're really great. It's a lot of fun. It really is. It's sort of, you know, I mean, a lot of the carts. I mean, there's like two tiers of like cups. There's like the top row, which is just sort of, I think, 3DS exclusive levels, and there's ones below, which is like, well, this level was in the N64 Mario Kart, this one was in the Game Boy Advance, this one was in the Super Nintendo Mario Kart, and stuff like that, all these all other levels, and they're all really fun, and it's great fun to play. But yeah, I mean, it is pretty much rinse and repeat Mario Kart, same sort of stuff, really. It's nothing's changed from the whole set piece. It's literally you pick your car, you pick your driver, and you race, and you know, there's loads of different power-ups, which I'm having fun with. I mean, I'm sort of doing a 50cc races, so I'm literally winning every race, so I'm not really getting to use many of the different items. I mean, I've used, I think, the bananas, the green shells, the red shells. I've got a couple of stars and some mushrooms. I haven't experimented with the blue shell yet, even though I keep getting hit with that fucking thing. But yeah, I mean, I have tried online. I sort of rage quit on some guy because he was on Rainbow Rose. And I'm like, yeah, I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at something else, and I totally missed the start. So I was like a few seconds behind. And then Rainbow Road, if anyone doesn't know, it's basically you could fall off the edge at any time. And I was like, kept falling off, and I'm like, fuck this shit, because he could pick Rainbow Road. And I'm like, no, let's do a proper fucking course. But yeah, I'll probably play online again, you know, with some more people. But it was literally just me and him, and I was like, well, this isn't fucking fun at all. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be one of my main travel games when I do go to America. I'm hoping that Star Fox turns up tomorrow. Hopefully, maybe not. Wait and see. But I mean, that's pretty much what I'm taking with me. It's just dates for me traveling games once I'm, you know, on the plane and sitting in the airport for 17 hours and, you know, that sort of stuff. But I'll get into the old topic for this week. This week I wanted to know about some of your overrated games. You know, stuff that you've, you know, people have told you about, you've played and thought, nah, this is terrible. And people, you know, basically the stuff that just people won't stop going on about. They just keep talking about. You know, several of my... you know, just going through a list of stuff on my list. What have we got? Yeah, Bioshock Infinite. I played it when it came out, and I think mainly because everyone else says they loved it, and I just didn't get the same feeling from people. I just didn't see what was going on with it that everyone else could see. And I mean, lots of people I talked to said, yeah, it was great. And I'm like, well, if it's so good, how comes they made DLC that wasn't even about the main city in the game? A lot of people were sort of speechless about it, but it just didn't click for me the way it did for everyone else, and that's basically the whole point of what's going on with you know, this topic, this today. There's other stuff on my list which is basically on everyone else's list that I've seen, and you know, Daryl posted on the Facebook page. He says Gears of War. I can understand that. I mean, I'm sort of, I think we're both at opposite ends of the spectrum. I was like, it's saying like, with me, I'm like, I like the game, I like the characters, I like the story, and I'm sort of probably the not the antagonist, but I don't know what the hell the exact word is, but I'm like, you know, the opposite to the him. It's like, Alice Lagoon in chat saying the Inception ending to buy. Yeah, to say the buy. I mean, well, it wasn't even an Inception. It was more like Fight Club, to be honest. That's my whole problem with Bioshock. It was like, yeah, this is the ending from Fight Club. That's, you know, that's what we got. It's not very new. I mean, everyone seems to do the Fight Club ending. There's several games that I've played that had the same, you know, the Fight Club ending. I'm like, yeah, okay, this isn't new. This isn't entertaining or interesting. I mean, I did like, you know, some of the points that were pointed out to me about the whole music stuff. That was quite fun to listen to. But yeah, I just didn't really, I don't know. It just felt so bad for me. But yeah, I mean, so back to what Dan was saying about Gears of War, I can understand that. I mean, a lot of people, you know, say, well, there's no story. It's basically you're just going through brown areas, killing insect people. And yeah, I can agree with that as well. And, you know, it's basically how you see it is how you see it. There's no, you know, changing someone's opinion and on, you know, on stuff that we're playing. I mean, you know, you either like a game or you don't. It's as simple as that. But yeah, I mean, I'll go to what people in the old Facebook group posted. My mate Sean, he said Skyrim. He says, "I'm sorry, it's beautiful. I know. I don't dispute the success of it or the fact that people get addicted to it. He just got bored, and that's understandable. It's one of those things. Sean probably got overwhelmed with it because it is, you know, maybe that's sort of the opposite to how I am with." You know, when I suggested about now about open world games, you know, there's not that much in Infamous Second Son to do, whereas an open world game like Skyrim, there's tons to do. It's, you know, there's, you know, killing and you know, many different ways to kill people. There's items and collectible stuff and weapons, and you know, you can build your own house and get married, and yeah, it's one of those things. It's because you are given such a big open, basically, sandbox to play in, you have no idea what to do. And those are the ones sort of games I like. I mean, it does amaze me every time I sort of, you know, play a Grand Theft Auto game. It's like, yeah, I've just been dropped into this world. I have literally a whole mess of shit to do. I could just jump in a car and do anything. I can buy a weapon. I can just start shooting up people, or I can blow stuff up. And, you know, if you've got your imagination to do something in the game, then you'll do it. But unless you have that information, you can get bored. But, you know, Sean's perfectly valid what he's saying about, getting bored with it. It's very understandable. Mate Stuart as well, he says Gears of War 3. He says, I was so excited for it to come out and was so let down by it. He says, I waited 8 hours to get it. Yeah, I can understand. I mean, I think everyone... I can say with that one that... We had the Matrix, was it Revelations, effect on that one. I mean, because, you know, there was nothing wrong with the first Matrix movie. The second one was okay. But I think what pissed everyone off, the whole Matrix stuff, was the fact that, it's just, you know, with Neo and Trinity dying, it's like, yeah, you just kill off your main characters, blah, blah, blah. Whereas with, you know, with Gears of War, probably okay to spot now, but, you know, with Dom dies, he sort of kills himself to save all his friends. And then you basically, the whole big climactic thing is like, you know, the giant energy weapon that goes around the world and kills all the locusts. Yeah, it's basically puts one giant boot down and kills all the insects, basically. But yeah, I mean, I liked Gears of War 3. I mean, I'm a bit pissed off now the fact that we're getting, was it Gears of War Judgment and whatever other Gears of War games that we're getting. It's just, you know, I like Gears of War. I really do. I just sort of think, we're done with 3. You know, Cliff Bleszinski left the studio. You know that's it, really. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be more Gears of War games. You know, Judgment was a prequel. Whatever else we're going to get, I don't know if it's probably about the Pendulum Wars. Wait and see. I mean, I'm not so fast. I might pick it up, but they're all Xbox exclusive, and unless they come out on the 360 at the moment, I'm not going to be picking up on a PlayStation. On an Xbox One. But yeah, I'll go to the other people that I asked this question to. Let's have a look. Mike, he says the entire Resistance series on PlayStation 3. He says he loves Insomniac, but the first game was outdated before it even came out, and the others were meh. Yeah, I mean. When I first got my PlayStation 3, it was fun. You know, it was one of the games I picked up, and I was like playing it. I thought, yep, this is great. This is fun. This is, you know, back then, this is the next gen experience that I should be having. And then I brought it off my mate a few months ago, and I'm playing it. I'm like, wow, this is so crap. You know, I didn't get that far into it. I sort of was trying to sort of, you know, wet my whistle for Resistance 2, which I still haven't borrowed off him. I sort of literally completely forgot about it. Because I mean, I think he's got 2 and 3. But I mean, I've read the whole Wikipedia's on the characters and stuff, and you know, I can understand that. I mean, I do get it. I mean, it was the big game from Insomniac, the big launch title for the PlayStation 3, and I mean, most of the games that do come out at launch for the, you know, for the consoles aren't that good anyway. I mean, which is probably why, to be honest, that we haven't been getting so many with, you know, the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox One. There's a handful, but there's not really enough to, you know, keep us occupied. I mean, I'll probably finish Infamous tomorrow, and then be bored for a couple of days until I get access to the Destiny beta. But yeah, I'm struggling for stuff to play at the moment, because there's nothing out until, you know, September, October, November time, when we get, like, you know, Gears of War, Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed, Destiny, you know, all that sort of stuff. But Bad Medicine, she says, Half-Life and Portal. I can agree with Half-Life. I really can. I agree with it. I don't see the whole love thing with Half-Life. I mean, yes, I played a bit of one. I played through 2, and I started to do... I mean, I've got, like, it downloaded onto my Xbox, so I can pick it up at any time. But I've, you know, got, like, episodes 2 and... episodes 1 and 2, which I haven't even bothered. But yeah, you know, she'll say about Portal. I can agree. I mean, I liked Portal. I mean, I liked it enough to play it, the first and second one. I mean, I didn't play it as well as basically everyone else had played it, because I sort of cheated, pretty much. Because I'm, like, sort of working out how to do stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this is boring. Okay, where's the guide? And then just do it that way. I mean, I did appreciate a whole bunch of stuff. You know, the fact we had Stephen Merchant as the voice of Wheatley in, you know, Portal 2. But yeah, I mean, it was funny and quirky, and you got to learn more about the whole, you know, the laboratories and, you know, what was going on from Portal 1 into Portal 2, that sort of stuff. But I mean, my main interest for liking sort of Half-Life and Portal was the small part that I do like Half-Life, and the more that I like Portal, is the whole connection. The fact that, you know, the main character in Portal could be the character in Captain's mum of Half-Life 2, where it's that girl's mum. I can't remember what the fucking name is. Just remembered something that popped in my mind. One of the games that I find overrated. I picked this up as not an impulse, but it was like, everyone said this was coming out. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll pick it up and give it a go. Beyond Good and Evil. Really not impressed with that. I mean, I didn't even finish it. I think I got like halfway through. But everyone talks about this game so much, and I'm like, it's very cartoony and quirky, but there's nothing really to it. I mean, there's an element of depth, I'll give you that. But there wasn't enough to it to make me want to keep playing. I mean, I got to certain points, and I was playing, and I was like, yeah, okay, this is good, but it just felt dated. I think that's probably what it was. You know, I mean, you know, the sort of thing was, other stuff I think about is like Monkey Island. You know, Kevin last week was talking about Monkey Island, how, you know, it's one of his, you know, favourite games. But it's like, yeah, it just, when I played it with the HD remake thing they did with it, it just felt very dated with that. But yeah, I Monkey Island, Beyond Good and Evil, it just felt very, just didn't feel very, I don't know what they should have been with this, with, you know, with what we got these days. Stephen, he also makes a comment. He says Madden, probably not in the sport. He just basically says sports and then Madden with an exclamation mark. So, you know, not really into sports, but I can understand that. With how, you know, sports games can be considered overrated, because, you know, we do get them, same game year after year after year, and it does basically grab a big following. You know, with your fantasy leagues and fantasy teams, and, you know, the ultimate team stuff, with your hockey and your football, and, you know, I can understand it. But Chris makes a good point. One of my sort of lists, pretty much everything on what he's saying is League of Legends, Smite, which I've not no idea what that is. Dota 2, Heroes of New Earth, Heroes of the Storm. Basically every MOBA. And I agree. I mean, I can't stand the fact that we've got this. There's some sort of MOBA tournament going on for Dota 2, and it's like a $5 million first prize for the team who wins. I'm like, that's too much fucking money for people just sitting on their asses all day. But yeah, say in chat as well, Alistair Goon, Max Payne was actually overrated, enjoyable, but very overrated. Yes, that is one I completely forgot until now. I mean, I did try and play Max Payne 3, but yeah, it was just so awkward and enjoyable. Maybe I was just thinking now, maybe the Devil May Cry series, that could be considered overrated. I mean, the first one was great, but part after that, it was just sort of downhill. But I mean, I think everyone felt the same way about it anyway, that it was sort of going downhill. But it's, you know, the new one was pretty good. But yeah, Max Payne, I think I played it halfway through the first one. Then I found a cheat and got to the end level, and then sort of beat it that way without playing through most of the game. The first one I got to, the bit where you have to walk on that red line, it was near impossible. Some sort of dream sequence where you're walking on this red line, and it's very fucking annoying. What was it? I think the second one I actually did play all the way through. I did play through it. I mean, I had no idea what the hell was going on. But yeah, it just... It's one of those ones. I like the film noir-esque take it took and how it was narrated. You know, it did have some good elements, but it just felt so cheap. I mean, the bullet time stuff was okay, but that does get fucking annoying after every couple of minutes where you can only take people out by going doing the bullet time, trying to, you know, slow motion matrix yourself. You know, I mean, it's very fun to sort of do the matrix stuff and sort of, you know, jump back, and then it's like, you know, but. I can understand, yeah. It's a very, very overrated game as Max Payne. But yeah, I agree with Chris what's saying about, you know, all the MOBAs, all the, just basically any sort of MOBA-style game. But you've got Matthew says World of Warcraft. I can understand that. I mean, I'm not someone who plays World of Warcraft, and I know people who do. You know, I mean, that's probably why I haven't played it, because I'm sort of in the same mindset. And it's like, well, there's... I mean, it has a great following. It makes the company loads of money. And there's, you know, great fans about this podcast and all sorts of stuff. It's got a great, you know, community and lore and history and stuff. But it's just the graphics are so cartoony and quirky. And it's like, yeah, from an MMO, I want something that's a bit more adult and serious, which, you know, I am so tempted to get into Final Fantasy 14, but it's not overly serious, but it's like the whole fighting stuff seems a bit tricky, and I'm like, okay, I don't really want to waste too much time. Plus, it's an MMO, you pay subscription. Like, yeah, I just rather pay the game, pay for it once, you charge me whatever fucking amount of money you're going to charge me, and then, you know... I'll sort it out afterwards. But no, World of Warcraft is understandable, but you know, a lot of people are playing. I mean, it's dropping off. It really is. The whole love for the game. What else we got? Yeah, Michael here says Mass Effect. He says he's ducks. He says no, seriously. Those Left 4 Dead games. I agree. Some of those things. I agree. You know, Left 4 Dead was on my one of my list as well. He brings it up, so there's no point me mentioning it. But yeah, Left 4 Dead. I played Left 4 Dead 2, Left 4 Dead 2 when it was like a demo of that came out. The graphics are shit. I mean, the gameplay's fun. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. Everyone says to me, it's like, it's not really about the graphics as such. It's about the actual gameplay and the experience you have with your friends. Shooting, killing zombies, trying to get yourself to safety, and you know, I can understand that, but it's like, I want the sometimes I want the complete package when it comes to a game. It's like, yeah, I want the good graphics with the good gameplay. I mean, yes, it might have good gameplay, but yeah, some decent graphics, because I'm looking at this shit. It's okay. I mean, I had this sort of not out of body experience. I'm like playing. What was I playing? I'm playing Infamous today. I'm like looking at the controller and me just pushing the buttons and doing stuff. And I was like, yeah, you've got to have the. It's got to look nice what you're doing. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. You know, that's one of those things. What is it? Yeah, Left 4 Dead, Halo. Yes, that's another one on my list as well. Halo. I, you know, as I say, played it. I mean, the graphics are pretty good. I mean, they've got better over time, but I mean, it's just the aliens I just couldn't stand. They were just so, you know, kiddie, you know, just annoying. The little fucking is it grunts? I can't remember what the classes are for the aliens in Halo. But yeah, I mean, it is a very overrated game. I mean, there's other stuff as well. I mean, with the new games that we're getting and all that stuff's coming out, and it's more of the same. There's nothing new to it. I mean, I think from what I did see of Halo 4, there was you know, it was pretty much the same aliens. So I'm like, okay, it's the same shit. What's new about this? It's still, you're the Master Chief. I mean, he looks terrible. It's like the worst, one of the worst character designs I've ever seen. So bland and generic. It's your classic Space Marine. I mean, you know, the was it the Warcraft? Was it Warcraft? Warhammer. I think that sort of stuff, you know, pretty much had their own Space Marines, and it just wasn't for me what I was hoping it would be when I did pick it up. I mean, I enjoyed bits of it. You know, some of the set pieces were fun and the fighting was good, but it's just a bit. I don't know. It just wasn't what it was supposed to be. What else we got on this list? Let's have a look. It was literally coming up from a break soon anyway. So, oh, here we go. Yeah, Lex. He says The Last Guardian. He says I'm just making an earlier late call. Yeah, because I mean, there's stuff in the air. Some people are saying that the game's still being made. Some people say it's not. But yeah, The Last Guardian. Yeah, I mean, I think I've talked about this before. You know, some boy and his giant dog. It doesn't seem like there's much to it, and I just sort of. I mean, I think I'm in the same boat as Lex with this one. It's like, yeah, I don't get the hype for it. It's going to be your standard puzzler, Team Ico, Shadow of Colossus, blah, 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 blah. But it's just not really. I don't know. It's just not really. I don't know. It's just not what it's supposed to be. If it was supposed to be, it'd probably be out by now. But, well, it's probably because they're sort of chopping and changing their minds about what the game is going to be, which is why we haven't seen it yet. But, I don't know. I mean, you know. I'm looking forward to seeing something solid and concrete. I mean, there's been so many games that we expected to see stuff on at E3 that we didn't, which is a shame, because there's a whole bunch of stuff on like, a list that I've got that we didn't see. You know, I mean, I'm looking forward to the next one. Hopefully, maybe we'll get some Micro Machines action, hopefully. Now that the Grid Autosport thing has been made, I did call out to Codemasters and Grid. So can we get a Micro Machines game, please? But we'll wait and see. What else we got on here? Robert, he says Minecraft. I totally agree. I mean, I have it now. It's on my Xbox. I played it for a little bit, but I just don't get the whole. I mean, I watch when I do my, look at my Pokemon videos. Verlis, he does like Minecraft videos on his for his PC, and I'm watching this stuff. And it was like, he's got all these sort of factories going. That's like, yeah, there's a blood factory, and there's like a sort of pumpkin factory. And it's like all these machines that are so, not convoluted, but inner working. And it just boggles the mind about, how he's got all these machines working that have like little devices and switches and stuff. It just fries my brain how detailed and. It's weird how detailed a game it is for a game with really shitty graphics. But, I mean, it has a big following. I mean, it does piss me off the fact that it has such a massive following and has such a massive interest. The fact I'm not even sure if it's out yet on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. But, I mean, I know I went to Eurogamer last year. I think I talked about this. The fact that I saw it on the big, sort of on the PCs there, the high-end PCs. I'm like, you're putting fucking Minecraft on a high-end PC. It's a total waste of fucking effort and energy. But yeah, I mean, what was it? Totally losing track of thoughts now. But yeah, no, Minecraft. I totally agree. I mean, I played it for a little bit. I mean, I think I was looking at, was it Time Hop on my phone? I think yesterday. And it was like 2 years ago. It's like, yeah, I sort of played Minecraft and did something. And I was like, yeah, wow, it's like probably like 2 years since I last played it. That's how long it's been so I actually, you know, bothered and actually gave a shit about Minecraft. But yeah, also in the old the group, Greg, he says, Final Fantasy after 7. Says, seriously, guys, you just because they used to be good doesn't mean you have to subject yourself to the crap anymore. If you want to watch a movie, click check out Netflix. At least they don't make you keep pressing A to keep the movie going. Yeah, I mean, I can sort of agree with that. But, I mean, I'd say I'd probably to range it to after 10. That's when, you know, we lost the main guy who worked on all the Final Fantasy games. But, I mean, you know, pretty much 1 was a bit shitty and 2 and 3 was okay. I got that on my, I think I got that on my 3DS and my iPod. I tried to play. Oh, 4 was good. 4 was really good. 4 is one that everyone talks about. 5, yeah, I mean, they're all pretty good up to from like I think 3 to, well, 4 to, we'll say 4 to 7, and then yeah, four to 10, yeah, they're all pretty good. They've all got their own little quirks and enjoyable parts. I mean, you know, sort of wish I had, you know, hadn't deleted my hard drive. I'd be playing it and, you know, but no, it's fun, you know. But I can understand the whole thing with Final Fantasy because, you know, I mean, everyone's nuts for Final Fantasy. I mean, I think, yeah, I'd probably say on my list, but overrated, I'd probably say I have like Final Fantasy 13 because there was such a great love for this. It's like, wow, it looks so good. And it's like, yeah, people just sort of, I think they're denying their own thoughts with how it is. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hated Final Fantasy 13. I just thought it was a big pile of shit. But yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, I think that's it for this topic. It's a short topic, but it's like, you know, there are so many games out there that we like. That's the thing. The past couple of weeks, it's like, yeah, what's the worst games you played? You can't really do too much because there's so much good stuff out there. What's the best stuff you played? I mean, I had a list of about 20 or 30 games. Like, this was really good, this was really good, that was good as well. And then the overrated stuff, it's sort of a mix between both because it's basically the games that your friends liked that you didn't, and basically everyone else seemed to like but you didn't, so it sort of becomes overrated. And, you know, it's very tricky, it really is, trying to sort of pick stuff. You know, going back, as I said, now I'm 30, it's like, you know, 20-odd years of, you know, 25 years of playing games, trying to figure stuff that's, you know, shitty, really. I'm sort of looking through my 3DS list, 3DS title, see what I've got. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, really, on that topic. I mean, next week I plan to do a joint topic. It's going to be two things, because they're both very short things as well that I want to talk about. But I'm like, pretty much I want to talk about, what is it, what have I got right here? Yeah, what are some classic games you'd like to see made today? And what games would you like that didn't get a sequel? Because, you know, I'm thinking about, yeah, I mean, Road Rash, classic game, Rampage, stuff like that. I'd love to see, even though, I mean, yes, we've had several sequels of Rampage. I mean, I think the last one came out on the PlayStation 2, I think. But, you know, I'd like something, I don't know, maybe we could explore Rampage a bit and see what would go on with that. You know, what games that didn't get a sequel, you know, standalone games, would you like to see something too? I mean, I'm just sort of thinking of some stuff off the top of my head. It's like, I can't remember what the hell the name of the game was, but it was like time travel elements to it. I know I'll think of it. It was on one of my lists earlier. But yeah, it was a really fun game to play. But yeah, so I'm going to take a quick break now because it's time for a break. But yeah, coming up in the second part, I will have tons of new stuff for you and basically talk on pretty much everything else. But yeah, there's tons of good stuff that I want to talk about that I sort of can't wait to get to. So literally I'll be back in about 8 or 9 minutes after these messages. See you in a bit, people.
That combination of
and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it'd be at least 2 extra numbers and 1 extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio, all one word.
More like radio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all gonna be on fucking podcast. Oh boy.
I told you.
I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo, too, if you remember.
AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420. Only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay per view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at CZWrestling.com. That's CZWrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Looking to go to the biggest internet radio live event on the Eastern Seaboard? We'll go to the second annual More Like Radio live event, a tribute to Otto Peterson, Saturday, August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair. Come see your favorite comedians and possibly Mersh if you could get a ride. $10 suggested donation. All proceeds will go to benefit the Otto Peterson family. August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh, so
everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, but down, bow, down, wow, dilly, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn. No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're going to go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not going to go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live at morelikeradio.com. Hopefully you're all okay. Enjoyed your little break. Had a drink and that. I did. Let's go into some news stuff. A whole bunch of stuff. But I say we'll go with Destiny at the moment, because that is literally coming out. Well, the beta is coming out in a couple of days. So I'll grab all the stuff I can on that. 1 second. Oh, here we go. Yep, sorry, one sec. Aha, here we go. Yeah, I saw this video on IGN. I posted it in the old Facebook, on the Facebook page. The Destiny's getting its companion app, which I think is coming out on Thursday. Destiny's companion app aims to be helpful. We'll use it. This is from GameSpot. Developer Bungie is looking to make a companion app that's useful and practical for its upcoming loot-based shooter. In the past few years, many apps for phones and tablets have been released that communicate with the game in some way. Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Battlefield 4, and Dead Rising 3. All have dedicated companion apps that aim to extend the game experience beyond the TV screen. Bungie, the developer of Destiny, is joining the trend and make an app that helps and that's helpful and useful for players. According to IGN, the mobile app will bring a wealth of character management options, including the ability to change your armor in the app and have the game respond instantly. Your character is rendered in a 3D model in the app as well. You will also be able to monitor your inventory and check out the loot you've acquired on missions. Vendors in Destiny's Hub, the Tower, will also show up in the app so you can see who is selling what. The app also acts like a compendium of Destiny's lore. The Grimoire all allows you to read about the characters, places, and events you come across during the playthrough of the game. I'll finish this article and then I'll No, I'll give my little 2 cents in there. Yeah, that actually does sound interesting. The fact that I could use it for that would be the useful thing for it. But to be honest, I mean, the whole. That's the thing. I mean, that would probably be the only thing I could see. I mean, it's free as well, which I think it's free. It's free. Reading the lore and stuff. You know, I mean, I'm getting so excited for this game to come out. I can't wait for it to be, you know, fully playable. The lore and stuff, that would, I could find that interesting. But customizing your character, like when you're not playing, does seem a bit. I don't know. It seems pointless because, I mean, you're playing the game, you're earning money, and you're selling stuff and you're buying stuff in the game. Yeah, you could do it on the app if you've got some time or whatever. You just sort of, well, I've got to go to work, so I'll buy it all, you know, when I'm traveling, that sort of stuff. It could be good. I mean, I'm going to download it anyway, and, you know, on my Android phone and give it a go. But it does seem okay. But I'll carry on reading. Destiny's Companion app launches on iOS and Android when the game gains closed beta test goes live this week for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3, and next week for the Xbox 360 and Xbox One. On iOS, only on an iPhone version, will be available during the beta. But when the game, when the game releases fully, the app will get an iPad version. It is compatible with all versions of the game: Xbox 360, Xbox One, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. Which was asked during the video, which I watched. It says if you have a code, you can play Destiny on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3 on Thursday, and then 360 and on the Xbox One the week after. According to recent rumours, the beta will include 4 story chapters, competitive multiplayer. The full game launches on September 9th. Other stuff here that I'll go to. One sec. But yeah, I mean, there was competitive multiplayer in the alpha as well, so it's not really much of a new thing. Where are we? I know it all set out. Here we go. Yeah. This is some CVG. Destiny beta progress could be carried over to the final game. Bungie also promises new experiences, even for alpha veterans. Progress made in the upcoming Destiny beta could carry over to the final game. Asked if that will be the case, Bungie community manager David Dack told Eurogamer a final decision has yet to be made. This is the beta is a test, he said. It's extremely unknown as to what the outcome will be. So it's certainly not a promise or an announcement that we are making at this time. It all depends on what we learn and how things shake out. So we're certainly not telling players that they can carry their progress over, but we haven't made any announcements either way. While Dak said Bungie is keeping its cards close to its chest when the game, so when it comes to details on the new gameplay experience set to feature in the beta, he did seemingly confirm reports suggest that the public test will offer access to planets other than Earth. So that's pretty cool. I did actually like what we did have to. One story chapter. I think it was like one or two, and there was like a whole random wasteland that you could destroy enemies at, on, which is fun. He says we do have new environments. There are new maps, he said. In the Bungie weekly update, we let slip a couple of glimpses of some of the new environments where people can go and fight in the Crucible in the beta, and it will send them to destinations that have yet to even that are yet to even touch down on. Dak went on to explain that explain what the beta will offer from the start, while also promising some new things even for alpha veterans. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I played the alpha, so I'm now getting access to play stuff that's, you know, wasn't in that. It was in the beta. That, you know, we'll see. It says, in many ways, it's the beginning of our Destiny adventure. It has more of the story to experience. We've got more of the Crucible to experience. And obviously, there is the exploration of old Russia. So we're looking forward to the fact that while much is known about old Russia from people who played on the PlayStation 4 and streamed or shared components of their experience, we're taking everybody in the Bungie community who wants to play this game, and we're turning them loose. So people on PlayStation 3, the Xbox One, Xbox 360 join the fray. They all get to understand what people have been talking about since we first started to let a small slice of the in-game experience download to their console. It says the Destiny beta will commence on. Yeah, I've just said all that shit. But yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be good. I think I've got more stuff here talking about the, I think, what else have I got? Have a look. Yeah, here we are. About four chapters. Okay, 1 second. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, Destiny. This is from CBG as well. Destiny beta reportedly includes 4 story chapters, and 4 competitive multiplayer maps and cooperative strike also feature. Fresh details about the upcoming Destiny beta have seemingly revealed in a letter sent to GameStop and EB Games store managers. Reddit users report that the beta will include 4 story chapters, 4 competitive multiplayer maps, a cooperative strike, and a huge world to explore with your own unique guardian. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to making a new character. I mean, I was like the hunter last time. Maybe I'll give the warlock a try, or was it the titan? I think was it the titan last time? I don't know. I'll have a play around, and you know, you'll hear about this all from me next week anyway. The Destiny beta will commence this Thursday on July. Yeah, blah blah blah. Yeah, pretty much it is. Here we go. Yes. More stuff here. Another Reddit user has seemingly revealed that the Xbox One Destiny beta download size is going to be nearly 13 gigs. That's about a week to download on the PlayStation. Time to finish downloading it with the beta will be over. The beta will all provide registered players with free download codes so they can invite friends to join them. Oh, okay. There we are. Now I have something to give away on the show. but yeah, no doubt I will pass those about. I know one guy who will probably want it, and a couple of others I can sort of chuck up on the Facebook page, which, you know, facebook.com/ antisocial game radio. You know, give it a like, and you could get access to one of the spare codes that I will have knocking around. But yeah, so, you know, something for you lot to have anyway. I don't really do giveaways or stuff because there's nothing really to give away. But you know, something for you lot to have. Okay. What else? I think that might be it. I'll have a look. 1 sec, because I've got like Mass Effect stuff and I've got Dragon Age stuff to talk about. And what's this one here? Okay, 1 sec. This might be. It's taking ages to load. Bloody page. Something about. Have a read of this. Yeah, here, this is something from Bungie, because I talked about a little while ago about the fact that sort of the Xbox users were getting left out in the cold when it comes to what was going on with Destiny. But this is from GameSpot. Bungie says it loves Xbox and PlayStation fans equally. Loving a good game and hard work and the hard-working developers who create it is not a console exclusive. Most Bungie fans got to know the developer while it was working for Microsoft on the Halo series, which helped define Xbox in the last 2 console generations. Some of these fans who stuck with Microsoft and Xbox One are upset that Bungie has aligned itself with Sony and PlayStation 4 for its upcoming sci-fi shooter Destiny. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3 owners already got a chance to play the alpha of the game, but it was only on PlayStation 4. The beta will hit PlayStation consoles first, and while Destiny will have player-exclusive content. In a recent post to Bungie's official website, community manager David Dack explained that despite the new relationship with Sony, Bungie doesn't hate its Xbox fans, as one fan suggests in a question. Loving a good game and hard-working developers who create it is not... what I just quoted earlier. Bungie has embraced the many differences, the many different platforms in our storied history. We have a hard time sitting still. Our goal has been to create amazing worlds and fill them with as many passionate people as possible. What we would tell you is that if you want to explore the world of Destiny, it was built with you in mind. We make games here at Bungie. We love the people who make them equally. And as head of Xbox, Phil Spencer recently made clear, says there's no bad blood between Microsoft and Bungie. Phil Spencer seems decent enough. You know, I wouldn't trust him, but you know, take what he says with a pinch of salt. Where was I? Yeah, that's pretty much it on the Destiny stuff. I mean, I can't wait for this game. The beta's out in a couple of days, and I'll quickly knock out Infamous, and literally I can sort of spend the next... Because I mean, I think it's like from the 17th to 27th, so about a week before I have to go away. So we've got a nice, good, decent chunk of game time to play with this. Where we go? Here we go, yeah. This is to talk about some Mass Effect stuff now. This is from Eurogamer. BioWare surveys fans for Mass Effect 4 input. Mass Effect developer BioWare has issued a new survey for fans of the series, which asks for your input on what the elements of the new Mass Effect game should highlight. The questionnaire posted on Twitter by Mass Effect producer Michael Gamble asks you how familiar you are with the Mass Effect series and what aspects of the new game you're most looking forward to. Its story, exploration, combat, or customizational possibilities. Another question asked... which RPG activities you think are more important? Leveling, optimizing kit and skills, customizing your appearance, comparing yourself against friends, exploring different worlds, exploring alternative story outcomes, or engaging combat. It's likely that the game's core structure is already nailed down. An autumn release next year is looking incredibly likely. So, yeah, you say that now, but no doubt it'll get pushed back till 2016 in February or March, like with every other Mass Effect game we've got that's come out. It's been pushed back and delayed, and you know, it's done when it's done. Just let them do it. I'm not in a hurry. I mean, I want to play it, obviously. Obviously, who doesn't? But let them take as much time as they want to make with it, so it's all finished and polished, and there's no fucking glitches and breaks and shit. Because you know, I am sort of scratching the walls now for a decent RPG to play, and you know, we got Dragon Age coming out in a couple of months. Can't wait to get my hands on that. But yeah, I mean, it's all really good, and you know, it all seems well, and hopefully this all goes too good. This hopefully it all goes well. Have we got anything else on Mass Effect? Oh, here we go. Yeah, I have just double checking these bits and pieces. Here we go. Yes, this is from CVG. Mass Effect 4 to be detailed at Comic-Con 2014 panel. BioWare Edmonton and Montreal to discuss developing the next Mass Effect. Scroll down. Here we go. Yeah, Mass Effect 4 will be discussed during a Comic-Con 2014 panel hosted by BioWare later this month. The panel will feature talent from both BioWare Edmonton and Montreal studios, with lead animator Carl Boulay, producers Fabrice. That's a weird ass name. Condomias. And Mike Gamble, senior artist Noel Jesus Christ, those Polish people. Noel Lukowitz and Jewish, and community manager Jessica Merizan to sit the panel. During the discussion, the speakers will share their experience in the shaping of the Mass Effect game with new possibilities while staying true to the critically acclaimed series. The panel will take place on July 26th, while specifics on Mass Effect 4 may not be forthcoming. It's likely the discussion will provide more details on the in-development title. While the game may have been confirmed for some time, it is yet to be publicly shown aside from the prototype footage at E3 last month. The game was in a playable state in late 2013 and somewhere in the middle of development as of May. Yeah, that was what was it Casey, what's his face, said. But yeah, so I mean, Mass Effect 4, something I'm looking forward to, more sci-fi RPG, you know, stuff. So we'll wait and see. I mean, I've been talking to people about this. I can't wait to see what it's going to be like. I mean, is it going to be set during the, you know, what's going on with Shepard, or is it after, which I prefer, or is it going to be set before, which would be a sort of step back? But wait and see. Where was it? Here we go. Yes. Some Dragon Age stuff, as I talked about, so, you know, a bunch of RPGs to talk about. We basically had like two big, like 15-minute-long videos about Dragon Age Inquisition. Now we've got basically, you know, some stuff here from Eurogames. This is BioWare Collective, Mark Dara, Mike Laidlaw, and Cameron Lee answered a barrage of questions about Dragon Age Inquisitions on Raptor yesterday. This is from about, was it a week ago? Yeah, this, yeah, on my birthday last week. They went over the person who says, I've combed over the Q&A and responded to it in sections of information. A Tumblr titled Adrian Stylish Court, a few more details include the S-grid, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, basically we've got several bits that were brought up and stuff, so information has been compiled to these certain sections. It's character creation. We've got described as really in-depth, so sort of, Skyrim, how that sort of be, maybe. You'll create your Inquisitor before the big opening cutscene, so that's good. So it's not normally just, you know, how it was, say, like with Dark Souls 2, when you start off the game, you're sort of a robed figure. You haven't chosen your job class yet. Can change inner outer iris colours. Okay, that sounds interesting. Can have scars. Yay. Canary horns are customizable. That's pretty cool. That's the sort of demon-looking characters. That's good. That's good, actually. It's not the standard sort of character model. It's, you know, you can have, you know, whatever, you know, certain things. Male Qunari player model will be smaller than the Iron Bull party member model. There's a lot of lip options, so it's very customizable. There are no body type choices. No body type. Oh, okay, so it'll probably be, I don't know, standard stock character size, and you just basically just sort of choose them from that. So you can't really sort of customize them on yourself. You sort of, well, height wise anyway. I mean, I wouldn't mind because I'm really tall anyway. Your Inquisitor will also be referred to by his or her surname. Not clear if the surname will be set and voiced like Shepard in Mass Effect. Wait and see. Your background depends on your race, class, choice. No Dwarven Mages. Okay. Customization they've got here. It says followers' armor will change color as you equip new gear. Dyes are still being looked at. For them, you can use different materials to change how items look and stats of the items, enchant them, make potions, etc. You can find a template of new armor you want to look like, then make it from materials which give it the look and the stats you want. Okay, so that's customizable armor. You wouldn't modify the original armor; you basically just make your own. That's pretty good. So basically, I can have whatever I want with whatever stats. That's pretty sweet. That's sort of what I wanted to do with in Skyrim. But they didn't let you. A little bit, but not as much as I wanted. Qunari don't wear helmets, of course not, because they've got fucking horns. It says they have a different head slot, so maybe it's like a tiara or something like that, or, you know, headband or whatever. Mage Inquisitors can wear heavy armor as a knight enchanter by crafting it and then summoning weapons. Level cap is between 25 and 30, so that's okay, I'm guessing. With you know, expansions and stuff, we'll probably get a higher level cap. There are three specifications for each class, and specializations can affect moments in the story. Specializations, we've got Knight Enchanter, Necromancer, Rift Mage, Artificer, Assassin, Tempest, which is a rogue, a Champion, a Reaver, and a Templar, which is the warrior sort of thing. I think I'll probably be the Assassin, I think, to be honest. This is about loot. There will be colour-coded loot according to rarity. No shit, that's basically how it is, sort of loot stuff these days. Mounts will be earned through quests, so that's cool. Maybe you could ride a dragon or something, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I've seen, like, a dragon in the old... what the hell is it what I'm talking about? A dragon in the gameplay footage that we got, those two 15-minute videos. Voice actors, there we go. Oh, hang on, no, I totally missed a bit. Companions. You can hug some of them. So basically, relationships, I'm guessing. Major characters all track something similar to approval, but the system has changed to put more focus on what you're doing and what you say instead of grinding by constantly giving them gifts. Each follower does have their own set of goals they want to achieve, and if you help them, they will appreciate it. And if you piss them off, they might just leave. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they're sort of pulling stuff from how the companions were with like Mass Effect 2. You do their each loyalty mission and you sort of, you know, talk to them the right way, and then you can end up banging them probably. It matters a lot who you take with you on quests. That makes sense, to be honest. I mean, there's so many different sort of games like this where you can choose your companions. Fallout as well. You know, I want this guy for this mission because they're related or something. You know, something like that. Solias's voice is Welsh. No Mabari dog companion. No Shale, maybe later. No current plans. Yeah, so basically Shale, the big sort of golem type monster thing. Not at the moment. He says voice actors. There's a British and American option for both the male and female inquisitors. It sounds like the male inquisitor can be voiced by Harry, fuck knows who these people are, but yeah, there's different voice actors for the main stuff. John Curry, who does the American voice, voiced Zevran. I think that was the elf guy from the first one, a character who won't be in Inquisition, but not really for that reason. Probably he's probably been killed or something. The female Inquisitor voice will be done by Alex Wilton, Wilson Regan. And yeah, basically, I mean, I know my voice actors. I mean, you know, I watch a load of anime and stuff, but these names don't mean anything to me. Okay, yeah. Alex Wilton Regan was in Mass Effect 3. She was comms specialist Samantha Traynor. And similarly, Montano, who does the voice for the female, was the Enchantress companion in Diablo 3. Dara says, you may indeed see Gideon Emery again. Emery voiced Dragon Age 2 follower Ferris. But his IMDb page doesn't mention it. Romance. There's 8 romances. 2 have racial preferences. There will be romance scenes, not necessarily just focused on sex. There will be at least 1 romance option outside of the Inquisition. Okay. One will be Lady Josephine Monilet, a.k.a. Scribbles, who's bisexual. Okay. But yeah, I mean, there's a gay character in there as well and everything. Combat. Let's have a look at the combat. Wow, there's a lot of stuff in this article. combat settings will range from easy to nightmare, as in previous Dragon Age games, but there is... I mean, I'll just have it set on normal. But there is not yet at least a story mode. Okay, I see, yeah. Rogues can set traps, which, you know, that's pretty much what rogues do. Stealth had to fit with party combat, so sneaking up on people outside of combat and backstabbing them didn't fit the bill. Okay. No flailing with fist if you don't have a weapon. Having control over Fade Rift may provide some interesting possibilities in combat. Yeah, so basically people get sucked away. You can control abilities individually. There were lots of abilities and spells for previous games, but a ton of new ones too. Destruction and environment plays a part in the combat. The tactical combat is more like DAO with the tactical camera. And the real-time combat is slower with more weight behind the attacks, defense, pitch, etc. You can swap between these modes whenever you like. As always, you can swap between party members at any time. There will be cross-class combos possible as expected. Lots of abilities can capitalize on states like frozen or stunned or encourage teamwork. Okay, story. There we go. Makes it a bit easier. Story. As an Inquisitor, you're considered holy to a degree. But how the Chantry, the world's religious organization, regards you after you walk out of a Fade Rift, by the way, doesn't want to say, a major plot point. Yeah, more than likely. Also, I think the best villains are the ones you can relate to, teased Lee. You'll see a lot of Morrigan in Inquisition. That's cool. Yeah, because, I mean, she had... I think depending on what you did with how the storyline, I think she had like your baby from the first one, if you sort of romanced her. It says you can judge people in the world, so okay, so it's basically Judge Dredd. There's a goodly dose of side missions that are contextual to make sense as something the Inquisitor would do, getting involved with to either win the hearts of the people or otherwise grow the Inquisition's power. Yeah, I mean, I remember the mission from Knights of the Old Republic on, was it Dantooine? I think it was a farm. There was some bloke arguing, so he had sorted out his decisions for him. Good or evil or Joker? The overall tone of is more neutral until you hit what we call a reaction hub, where you can respond more strongly, often to question, or by being pleased, stoic, angry, sad, etc. Yes, tons of this stuff. It's literally all very interesting. I can't wait to sort of play this when this comes out. I was, you know, loved the first one. Didn't play the second one, but this one looks good and will hopefully play well. Allows custom. This is about the map. Allows custom plot markers. Can choose which quest is active. There's a mini map. You'll experience snow and rain and dust storms. Yay! Because from what I've been hearing from this video, there's different sort of different land environment there. You can fast travel, but only to Inquisition camps you've set up and populated. Your Inquisition HQ is big, much bigger than any base you've had in Dragon Age game so far. But in the first one, you just stayed at camps. There was no real base. There will be some Red Jenny, because I've wanted to answer who are they for a while now. I'm not too sure what that is. It's been so long since I played Dragon Age. Morrigan's Witch Mother Dragon, Flemeth may return, but you can't visit her shack. Yet there's a number of recruiting NPCs. Reoccurring NPCs. So that's pretty good. That means, you know, Captain Janeway's voice, if she is back, you know, I forgot her name. Yeah. Orange is the New Black. Yeah, thingy. Katie Mulgrew. Yeah, that's it. She's, you know, could be voicing her again, which would be great. Female Dragon Age Origins Dwarf Dagna does appear at some point. I think I remember that one. You can also jump. What's it saying? Yeah. You can jump. Yeah, you can jump, but that doesn't mean jumping puzzles. Yeah, that's good. Oh, here we go. We'll talk about dragons. No flying mounts and no capes. Okay, so yeah, no flying. Lovely. That's a shame. Yeah, we are just wrapping it up now. DLC. The plans aren't firm yet. Nothing at launch, says BioWare about DLC. Nothing not attributed to anyone in particular. Dragon Age Keep. The Dragon Age Inquisition's web presence and social glue. It will be available before launch. It's in the beta now, so yeah, this is the online thing. Tools. Tool set. Definitely not at launch. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, just stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell for Dragon Age. The game sounds pretty good, and there's bits and pieces flying here and story flying there and a whole bunch of stuff. I just legit can't wait to play this game. Here we go. Yeah, something from... This made me laugh a little bit. This is from Eurogamer. Tony Hawk Studio Neversoft bids farewell and burns an eyeball effigy. Today, this is from about 3 days ago, 4 days ago, yeah, from Friday. Today is the final day of independent operation for 20-year-old game studio Neversoft, best known for its work developing Tony Hawk titles and later Guitar Hero games. The veteran developer celebrated its own demise by setting fire to a large effigy of its iconic logo, an eyeball on a stick, and by gifting a massive monogrammed Bowie knife to each of its employees. So scroll down. Neversoft staff are being amalgamated into Call of Duty developer Infinity Ward to create one single super studio. It emerged back in May. The decision was made after Neversoft Studio aided Infinity Ward on last year's Call of Duty Ghost and comes several years after the studio last worked on a major franchise of its own. Yeah, because they had nothing. Neversoft pumped out a Tony Hawk's title every year for from the series 1999 original up until 2007's was that the last one? Proving Grounds. 2007 also saw the studio pick up then reluctant Guitar Hero license, which was dropped, which it developed from that year's Guitar Hero 3 up until 2010's Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock. Neversoft staff are presumably already at work on a future Call of Duty installment, although one that will no longer feature the famous logo. Which is fine. I don't mind. I mean, at least they're not. Yes, it's no longer Neversoft, but at least they're still working. That's, you know, that's the main thing. But this Bowie knife looks pretty fucking cool, though. But yeah, I mean. Good for them that they're going to work for Infinity Ward and they're working on the new Call of Duty stuff. So we've got like what three studios doing Call of Duty now. Infinity Ward actually doing something, where you've got Sledgehammer Games doing stuff as well, and you've got Treyarch doing whatever it is they're doing. But I don't know. What is this other stuff? Okay. Yeah, we'll go with this. I've got half an hour left, and I've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about still. I'm trying to sort of get through this as quick as possible so I can usually give you as much information as I can before, you know, I sign off for another week. Saints Row developer Volition, expanding team size by 100. I got this off Eurogamer. Saints Row studio Volition has announced plans to hire 100 new employees, bringing its staff size up to a total of 300. Developer is still aiming... is already planning a $200,000 model of its... Champaign, Illinois headquarters, and also has asked for financial assistance from local government to do so. If successful, Volition will receive a contribution towards its remodeling costs and up to $100,000 each for each new worker hired, Games Industry International reports. Volition is widely expected to be building Saints Row 5 after last year's successful launch of Saints Row 4 and its Enter the Dominatrix expansion. I didn't bother with any of the expansion. I finished the game. I was like, yep, I'm done. Saints Row 2 voice actor Jay Moore revealed via Twitter he was working on a new Saints Row game in December last year. We're getting more Saints Row. I guess that's good. I mean, I'm not fussed. I mean, I don't know if I'll bother picking it up. I mean, I was happy with how Saints Row 4 ended. Because it's not really about the story. It's about just having fun with the game. And I did. I had lots of fun with it. But it's not really what it was. It's totally gone off base of what it was. But, you know, Saints Row's been doing that for years. Okay, that's next article. Let's have a look. One sec. Here we go. Here we go. I talked about this is what I talked about the past couple of weeks about Crytek's UK studios. Got this from CVG. Homefront: The Revolution's game director reportedly resigns. Future of Crytek's UK studios' latest game remained in doubt. I mean, I've got my answers to this as well, but I'll read the article first. Yeah, Homefront: The Revolution game director Hazit Zala has resigned from his position at Crytek UK, according to multiple sources. Multiple Kotaku sources. Zala also served as the franchise director for the company's free-to-play shooter Warface. The future of Nottingham-based studio Crytek and Homefront: The Revolution appeared to be under serious threat. Recent reports claim that a significant portion of UK staff hadn't been stopped coming to work. Yeah, we talked about this last week. Haven't been paid in multiple months. Former studio development manager Ben Harris also resigned last month. According to previous reports, Crytek UK are said to have only received around a third of their wages following the alleged cancellation of Rise 2 in March. Others claim to have not been paid at all in months. Crytek has remained more or less silent on the exact nature of the situation since late June, when it denied claims that it's on the verge of bankruptcy. Open world first-person shooter sequel Homefront: The Revolution sees players leading resistance. Leading resistance movement in a guerrilla warfare. It takes place in Philadelphia, 4 years into a brutal military occupation of North America. If this game does get sort of dropped by Crytek, Crytek UK shuts up shop, I can see it's got a Gearbox. I mean, because Gearbox seems to take any piece of shit these days and try and finish it and not make it worse as such, but I mean, Colonial Marines wasn't that good. Duke Nukem Forever wasn't that good. Unless it's Gearbox's own, their own game, there's nothing really to it that's enjoyable, really. Let's just help this bloody page would load. Okay, 1 second. Here we go. Yeah. This is stuff from Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat 10 to feature at least one guest character. The new Mortal Kombat X will star at least one guest character, it has been revealed. Franchise co-creator Ed Boon made the revelation at EVO 2014 fighting game event in Las Vegas over the weekend. Reports MP First confirmed that the game will star at least one fighter from another franchise. So that's interesting. This comes after developer NetherRealm Studios confirmed the inclusion of the classic fighter Raiden. Of Raiden, rather, with a new Mortal Kombat trailer, which I posted on the Facebook group today. On the Facebook page today. The 2011 released Mortal Kombat game saw appearances from God of War's Kratos on the PlayStation 3 version and Vita versions only, and post-release DLC characters horror icon Freddy Krueger. Boon offered no hints as of which characters or franchise will make a guest appearance in this game. It's weird. I'm wondering who it could be and what franchise. I mean, Street Fighter's got stuff going on with Tekken. I mean, could it be? I don't know, because I don't think it'd be Soul Calibur, because you got Yoshimitsu was in Soul Calibur as well as Tekken. I don't know. The fighting franchise. As a random guess, shot in dark, I'd say probably be Ash from Evil Dead. I could see it being him. You know, him there with his shotgun, and you know that's pretty much it. Yeah, shotgun, chainsaw. Yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool as a a Mortal Kombat character. It's probably something to post on the old Facebook group, Facebook page later. You know, I could see it being Ash from Evil Dead. That'd be pretty cool, actually. Where was that thing? Because I know I just here we go. Yeah. Because I was talking about Raiden's being revealed. Yeah, it said from Eurogamer, Thunder God Raiden confirmed for Mortal Kombat 10. NetherRealm Studios announced that Thunder God Raiden as the next playable character in the fighting game Mortal Kombat 10. Developer revealed gameplay video below at the blah, 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 what I just read. In it, we see three variations of Raiden you can choose from. Thunder God Raiden focuses on electrocution combos. Displacer Raiden involves... around teleportation, and Storm Lord Raiden is all about setting lightning traps. I don't get that. I'll carry on, because I mean, I did see this in the video, and it totally confused the shit out of me. Raiden's signature moves are all preset and correct, including his torpedo move. We see bone crunching X-ray, as well as a fatality, which is typically outrageously violent, which is very fun. Just remember what he does here. He sort of electrocutes the head, and head flies off. He grabs onto the guy's head. It wasn't Shao Kahn, it was someone else Kahn. It was some sort of sun god or something. Kotal Kahn, here we go, it says here. But yeah, he just grabs hold of his head and then starts electrocuting it, and then his eyes just pop out, and then like the head pops off, and then he sort of like electrifies it and it just explodes. It was really gory, it was very cool. But yeah, I mean, it's three different suits. I mean, it's like, well, I don't get if it's three different characters or various variations of Raiden, so I don't know. It's Raiden. The guy's cool. I mean, you can't have a Mortal Kombat. You can't have a Mortal Kombat game without him. It's like having get rid of no Sub Zero, no Scorpion. It just couldn't be done. You wouldn't do it anyway. What else we got? Let's have a look. I got some other bits and pieces here that are flying around. Saints Row, Mass Effect, blah blah blah. What have we done with that? Okay, one sec. Sorry, I'm just literally just sort of scrolling through bits and pieces because I know I saw some decent stuff. Here we go. Yeah, this is what I saw. I saw some article about this the other day. I was looking at. But they're saying about the fact that the PlayStation 4 isn't selling too well in Japan, which I don't get because Japan loves its own stuff. I mean, some article as well I was reading about how the fact that the Japanese people, they just, the gamers themselves, they only want to play stuff done by Japanese studios. It's like, it's very, anti-Semitic. I don't be using that connotation. I don't know. Sony says PlayStation 4 sales are okay in Japan. PlayStation Bosch believes console needs more compelling Japanese-made games. Yeah, this is what the fans are asking for, the gamers out there are asking for. But it shouldn't be what country the games are made in or who people's made by. It should be the game itself. It's like, yeah, well, if you want to play a fighting game, you want to play a fighting game. It's not, well, I'm not going to play this fighting game because it was developed in Canada or in Bulgaria. So if it's only developed in Japan, I'm not going to play it there. That's very, shallow and snobbish, Sony has moved to explain the relatively low PlayStation 4 sales in Japan following the console's launch in February. Having arrived in the West in November, PlayStation 4 sales topped 7 million units as of April 6th, meaning the console got off to a faster start than the phenomenally successful PlayStation 2. But in Sony's home country, the system has moved just shy of 630,000 units to date. Just over half a million. According to Retail Monitor Media Create. PlayStation boss Andrew House told Eurogamer that the primary reason for the relatively slow PlayStation 4 adoption in Japan is a lack of compelling Japanese created content. Fucking bunch of stuck-up bastards. He says it's doing okay. We're conscious of the fact that we have not had yet the sort of groundswell of Japan-native content from Japanese publishers and developers. I view that as temporary. There's definitely developer and publisher enthusiasm for the platform, especially having seen the overall success it had in the markets outside of Japan. And again, this outpacing of the PlayStation 2. We'll see the outcoming games people in Japan will get excited about. But unfortunately, a little bit later that has happened in other markets. For whatever reasons, when we were evangelizing around the platform, we have a tougher sell with Japanese publishers and developers. There's a comfort level around the PlayStation 3 that was playing into that. There was a slight level of concern about the viability of the console market in Japan, but we have really turned a corner on that and demonstrated that if you're a publisher that wants to reach a goal, reach a global market with good and immersive games, then the PlayStation 4 is definitely the place to be. The PlayStation 4 system architect, Mark Kearney, agreed with House. It's because the products are not there to compel the player to buy the console. We'll have a much better read on that that a year or two after the Japanese publishers start developing those interesting games. House, who lives in Japan, also said the greater availability of entertainment services on PlayStation 4 in the West has helped Sony reach a broader audience than just a core gamer, much earlier than expected in the console's life cycle. In Japan, we're not seeing that secondary uses, he says. If you look at the Japanese market for a variety of reasons, you have not seen a dominant player in streaming services happen. You see an inherent conversation, convertism around film and TV content holders that doesn't allow for the rise of the brand new services. Wait, trust, it's not that. That's not what the Japanese people are moaning about when it comes to the games. They want stuff developed by their fellow countrymen, and they're being very countrymen about it. It's weird. It's just, what the hell is happening in Japan now these days? I mean, all right, we're going to sort of poke on it for a few seconds, because I mean, I've seen the list of like the people going to the Worlds in pretty much a month from now, and it's like, I don't know if it's like they've got a full list of Japanese stuff. I mean, literally in the Masters stuff, they've got a list of Japanese players, but in like the seniors and juniors, there's nothing. There's no, Japanese people there. It's literally just Australian, UK, Europe, and Americans. So I have no idea what the hell Japan are doing. If they're just sort of playing with their PlayStation 3s or PlayStation 2 still, or with their Nintendos, and what are they playing these days? Because there doesn't seem to be anything that they like, and it's just a bit weird. But I don't know. We'll see what's going on. They're a bit fussy these days, but with stuff the way that's coming out, I mean, it's understandable the fact that PlayStation 4 hasn't sold as well as it should in its, it's sold better over here and than in its native country. But you've got to think about how successful PlayStation 1 was, how successful PlayStation 2 was, and how well it wasn't super successful, but the PlayStation 3 was doing well towards the end of its life cycle. It was literally just around starting to outpace the Xbox. Here we go. This is talking about the job loss. This is from CBG. Some Xbox jobs to be cut in Microsoft restructure report claims. Bloomberg sources expect. Oh, sorry. Company's biggest round of layoffs in at least 5 years. This is really worrying. A number of Xbox jobs will reportedly be among those to be cut when Microsoft announces plans to significantly restructure its business later this month. The shakeup may end up being the biggest in the company's history, topping the 5,800 jobs cut in 2009. Two anonymous sources said to be familiar with the matter told Bloomberg. Yes, Microsoft employed over 127,000 staff as of June the 5th, including 300,000 added following its acquisition of Nokia's handset unit. Report claims some of its cuts were in marketing and marketing departments for business such as the global Xbox team as well as engineering, while others were likely come from areas in which Nokia and Microsoft divisions overlap. Yeah, you don't need two people doing one job. It's understandable. Where we go? While Microsoft declined to comment on the report, Bloomberg understands the reduction may be announced as soon as this week, with further details set to be provided when Microsoft reports its fiscal fourth quarter earnings on July 22nd, so about a week so. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella issued his first company's mission statement last Thursday, outing his vision for the firm in a lengthy memo distributed to its employees. The 3,000-word letter included a section in which he related, reiterated his commitment to Xbox, which he said will continue to vigorously invigorate and delight gamers. Microsoft most recently confirmed a round of layoffs in the Xbox division in April, when an unexpected, unspecified number of developers were let go following Phil Spencer's promotion to lead to the head of the Xbox gamers arm. Yeah, so, you know, it's the thing, it's your traditional layoffs and that sort of stuff, but, you know, hopefully all these people who do get fired will find their fate and get proper jobs, and, you know, not proper jobs, but, you know, get jobs again. What else we got? Let's have a look. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Just sort of do this quickly before the show ends. Sony hasn't closed the door on reviving your favourite characters. This is from GameSpot. You know, since PlayStation has had a few characters associated with its console, Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, Jack and Daxter. Others will remember them fondly and haven't seen them in years, but Sony might be ready to bring some of them back. I mean, Jack and Daxter would be great. I mean, I've never played a Jack and Daxter game, but I'd like to. If you bring them back. In concept, it's something we've been thinking about discussing, and this is a shift for us. Sony Computer Entertainment President and CEO Andrew House told The Telegraph when asked if we'll ever see Sony revive Crash Bandicoot or Spyro the Dragon. Well, I mean, yes, Skylanders. Jeez. It's The Telegraph. We've started to say that maybe there wasn't anything wrong with going back and looking at characters that people still talk about that were a big part of either their childhood or their youth. I definitely wouldn't close the door on that. He says it's great to hear that Sony is willing to look back and see which of these characters are worth reviving. But a new Crash Bandicoot or Spyro game significantly is not something that's up to Sony alone. Activision owns the rights to both series. Spyro is a huge earner for the company in the form of its Skylanders, yes, what I just said. Last year, Activision indicated that it's still interested in bringing Crash Bandicoot back to life, which I wouldn't mind playing a best Crash Bandicoot game, to be honest. So it's not as if Sony has to do all his arse nicely. In fact, Activision is guarding the Crash Bandicoot license so closely it won't even allow it to be part of the fan art design contest Naughty Dog is running in celebration of its 30th anniversary art book. Jack and Daxter, on the other hand, is still owned by Sony, with the exception of the PlayStation Move Heroes. We haven't seen a new game with those two since 2009. So a whole bunch of new characters that we do love that have been gone for a while that we would like to see back are pretty much, well, not really, but, you know, we could see them in the future. It's pretty much up to Sony and Activision to, you know, pull their finger out and give us some of these characters back. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you all for listening, and hopefully the audio buzzing hasn't annoyed you too much. I'll try and sort that out for next week. But yeah, don't forget, so after this, Alcohol by Volume with Kevin, and we've got Unsigned Hype once Johnny Five puts down his fucking Foreplay for Beginners book. Then we got after that to wrap up the night, we've got Dutch and Royce. So back next week, talk about topic with the classic games and, you know, sequels we'd like to see on games that never got anything. I'll be talking about Destiny, what that's like, a bunch of other stuff. I'll probably have, you know, Infamous finished by then, so I'll talk about how that ended and how that wraps up and a whole bunch of stuff basically. But, you know, keep subscribing to More Like Radio. You know, follow us on Twitter at MLR Gamer Radio. Leave us a review on iTunes. That'd be really helpful. That'd be, make everything better. You know, we can get higher up the iTunes, and, you know, there's thousands of you listening. All you got to do is leave a review. It'd be great. But yeah, see you all again next week. Take care, people. Bye.
think fucking Ashley brought anything to the table?
My God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate.